Thank you. How you guys doing?
Good.
Well, it's always an honor to be here with you guys. Pastor John and I, we call ourselves sisters church, sister churches. And so I believe that we are sisters, not Pastor John and I. No. In the way that we grow together, I remember years ago, and that was years ago. I feel better now that I know that you are 73 and you're such a good shape.
Really?
Well, it looks you are in pretty good shape. And I used to think like 50 was old, 40 was old. And now that I'm 65, I'm like, 70 is not that old. You know? Years ago, we went to a trip with Pastor John, and you know, we talk about things, the changes we do, and I said, he started the conversation, you know, Mario, now in between the services, between the transfer of worshiping and preaching, we get out and we salute, we greet everybody, we hug. And I'm like, I started that last week too. And throughout the years, you know, a lot of the things that go through one church, a lot of the movements, a lot of the pain, a lot of the stuff that we've gone through, it is true. We are in a sense we're sister churches, you know. And so I'm gonna warm up the engine. Okay, is that okay? That's how I call it. I talk about stuff, and then I go to the heart. Okay, so like last week I had this dream. I had this dream that I was. I'll tell your neighbor, you got to dream more often. I'll tell your neighbor, you got to dream more often. More often. And I had this dream that I was. That I was preaching in a place, and that miracles, wonders were happening. And I do believe in all those things. I pray for people, many times. I mean, I've been doing this thing, being a pastor, like for 30 years. And before that, we did it in our church. So I believe in those things. But this dream was very real. Well, most of the dreams are, huh? Most of the dreams are real, but this one was very real. And I was preaching, and people were getting healed, but in a way, in a very supernatural, can I say supernatural?
Yeah.
Supernatural way, people were getting up of their chairs and touch me, and getting out and pray for me, and I got this disease, I got this, and everybody was getting healed. And then I said, okay. I mean, dreams seems to take up most of the night, right? Most of your hours, 6 or 6 hours. But I read one time that it was like a 40-second thing. That it wasn't that big. I'm like, man, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I was dreaming all night. And they say, no, not really. It just takes like 40 seconds. I mean, how the mind works. And so after the dream, I was talking to people, and I said, okay, so how is this going to happen? I mean, right? I mean, you get something, and you want to know how is it going to happen, how it's going to affect your life, I tell your neighbor, how is this going to happen? Tell your neighbor, wake him up, because some of you guys are like, And so I said, how is this going to happen? And then I heard this voice says, you are going to pray for 36 hours continuously. And I'm like, I know I'm retired, but I don't have 36 hours like that. I mean, and then I saw myself after the dream, I saw myself in church praying 36 hours continuously. And then I said, okay, all by myself, nobody around me, just myself. And I was praying there. And then, okay, finish, and then I forgot all about it. Forgot all about it, okay? But thank God I have my wife, because I'm here with my wife, okay? We, last April 19, we celebrated 43 years. Amen? And I'm like, I'm sorry, baby. Sorry you had to put up with me, with someone like me. Amen? If you're married, tell your... No, you're not going to do it? No. Okay. And so somebody invited me. Oh, my son invited me to this men retreat over the weekend. And we were there 72 hours. And we were, you know, those retreats were 3,000 men screams, and you think you're gonna die there because they're screaming so loud. Have you ever been to a concert, to a baseball game, to something really big, and everybody's screaming goal for those who play soccer, or home run for those who play baseball, or touchdown? And it was amazing. It was amazing. The way God presents the church is so diverse. Do you believe that? So yeah. Diverse. Is that diverse? Yeah. And we were there, men from different backgrounds, I mean, or shape and colors, more different shapes and colors. And it was amazing. We ate meat 2-3 times a day. Amen. It was 10 o'clock. It was 10 at night, 10 p.m., and they were doing this, roasting these prime ribs, and they were smelled so good. And I'm like, oh, I love this place. I like it here. And so I had a little peace, and then I couldn't sleep during the night, because you know, I was that fat. But it was okay. It was okay. I mean, and so here I am today to tell you that to thank you for all your blessings to our church. Mark and Pastor John have been there teaching several years back, and I do want to tell you that we've been in revival for 1 year. Yeah. 1 year. But let me tell you about this revival thing. I was asking God, I was praying God for a revival. And then I heard this silence, this moment like nothing moves, the silence. And God says, you've been in revival, you just didn't notice. I'm like, how? And then I was driving to the church in Tijuana, more than 1 hour before the service. It was like 10:50, and I saw a line waiting outside the church. Amen. 1 hour before, a line of people, and God says, see, that's revival. When people are out on the sun waiting for the doors to open. And people In the past, prophets and apostles went to our church and said, and you guys are going to have revival. And people are going to waiting out there, making a line out there. And there's going to be a line. And we all took it literally, but we forgot about it. We forgot about it. And so I asked one guy from Argentina, an apostle from Argentina, and I said, you guys have these great revivals with Gigi Avila and all these great preachers. What happened to the revival? And they said, Mario, we took it for granted. We took it for granted. The supernatural, the extraordinary became ordinary and natural. And we lost that connection. And so we're having revival, and I believe that you guys are getting into a great revival. I think that you guys are paying the price and pay the price for a long, long time. For this revival, I think you guys are going to see it, and I think you guys are going to rejoice. I think you guys are going to work harder, because revivals are usually like that. You know, you work harder, and people get tired. But when you have this vision, when you have this in your dream, when you saw it, see, one of the things that happened to dreamers is that when the things become reality, they don't enjoy it as much because they already, you know what I mean? Like in our church, I remember when you guys went down and throughout down the old building. How many of you were there? You, yeah. So we don't have a big space like you guys have. We just have in meters, it's 10 meters wide, 20 meters long. It's like what, 30 by 60. And so every Sunday, I mean, the place gets packed. We have 200 chairs that you guys donated to our church, and everything is, we have people around the walls and everything, and I believe God is going to do something great. When somebody from outside that doesn't know your church tells you something like that, they've seen it. You haven't seen it yet, but they've seen it. And so I see this in your church, in your church. So I feel very humbled to be here. I get it. I get it. I'm not the most fantastic preacher. Eloquent? Eloquent? I drag my English. I don't know where. I can blame my English teacher in high school, in junior high school, because he had this England accent. So he used to say chair. and so just bear with me, okay? Can we pray?
No, we don't do that.
Oh, you guys don't pray? You don't. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We understand that we don't deserve this grace. We don't deserve this love that you give us. We don't deserve any of it. But we thank you because you pick us up from where we were. And we are what we are today, son, daughters of you, because of your mercy. We thank you. Talk to us. challenge us today with your word. Put in our heart this desire, this fire. Put this fire in our heart. Put this fire in our heart. And let the blood of Jesus flow throughout these cities. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was going to tell you something, but I forgot. H does sting. So I want to talk to you about the power of the blood. Amen? The power of the blood. Every time God is going to do something, he uses blood. He uses the blood of something, of somebody. And understand something that I didn't get until, I don't know when. When Adam was introduced to the Garden of Eden, he was told to eat the veggies, right? Veggies, fruit, and all that good stuff. Well, I don't like veggies. I mean, I eat them, right? Because they're good for you. But I like it better when Noah comes out of the ark. Noah comes out of the ark and God says, now you can kill and eat. Now you can eat meat. Because Adam wasn't given that order. It wasn't Adam. It was Noah who got. And I started thinking, why was he given that order? Well, he was taking care of the animals in the ark. I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. You take care of them, you eat them, right? It's something funny because, like, my daddy, do you guys remember 2-3 years ago when the eggs were scarce? No, find no eggs in store and stuff like that, and then they raise the prices. I'm like, we knew it. Well, my daughter went, and she says, I'm going to raise chickens. You know, she's one of them, like, I'm going to raise chickens. I'm going to buy some chickens. And she bought 2-3 chickens, and then she bought 2-3 more chickens, and then more chickens. And she had 18 chickens. And she had more eggs than, she picked up like 20 eggs a day, and she didn't know what to do with it. She says, Ma, you got to come over and pick up some 60 eggs and give it to your neighbors and give it to grandma and give it to, I'm like, okay. And I said, when are we going to eat one of your chickens? I said, we're eating the eggs, but when are we going to eat? And she said something funny. She says, we're not going to eat my chickens. Those are my babies. Those are my babies. I'm like, wait. You got those chickens, you got the eggs, but we got to eat. They're going to get old. And they're going to get old. And you know, some animals, when they get old, tell your neighbor, don't get too old. they get hard. You know, some of the meat is hard. Some of the meat is hard. So I say, when? She says, no, those are my babies. My kids are leaving the house because we have a grandson in Okinawa, and another one got married. The one in Okinawa is with the Marine, is serving. And so she says, no. I said, oh, you got that empty nest feeling. So now you want to fill it up with chickens. Chickens. And so when you raise an animal, it's just hard to kill it, right? I mean, it's your pet. And that's why they always say, don't name your pets, especially if you're going to eat them. You're going to eat them. Don't name them because then you get attached to it, you know? So I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to a place, okay? So Adam named all the animals. Noah took them to the ark. He got them out of the ark, and then he killed them and ate them. Not all of them, because we do have a lot of animals nowadays. But that's not the thing. What got me is that Noah had to spill blood to kill those animals. And if you haven't killed an animal, you don't know what it is. I am from a place called Loma Bonita, Oaxaca, down in Oaxaca. And we have conventions. When my dad, my mom were there, they were the pastor. They were holding conventions, and they were killing 30 chickens, ducks. They killed one big cow and one big pig to feed the convention for 3 days, you know? So you eat meat for 3 days. Chicken. And so one time I don't know if I told you this, but, well, my watch is not working, so I don't know why I'm looking at it. So one time we had 30 chickens to kill and 12 ducks. And then who killed it? I did. So you grab the chicken. Is anybody going to gross out? Are you going to see me the same after this? Or yeah? Okay. So you grab the chicken. I'm talking about the ranch, okay? Grab the chicken, twist the neck, pop it, and then cut it. And then you throw it, put it down, and the chicken goes. So you got to put it in a box or something so that the chicken doesn't spills blood all over the place. And so the first time, it was like, whoa. But then after 30 chickens, 12 ducks, I feel I can kill anything. So this guy asked me, says, Mario, I know you don't gross out when you kill chickens. I saw you killing those chickens. Would you like to work for me killing pigs? I'm like, amen. So I started working for him, and he boiled water, and got the big pig, put it on the table like that. Then he stabbed him on the heart and let him bleed there. Let him bleed until most of the blood gets out. And I saw it, and he was an expert because that was his job. And so he said, you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, I do. And he says, look, you're going to point it here, and then if at the first stop doesn't die, you move the knife around until you touch the heart. You got it, stab him in the heart. So we did. I lived there, grabbed the thing, and I stabbed him, and didn't work. The pig screamed like a baby. Yeah! And I'm like, I got nervous. And he says, stab him, move the knife. And I was moving, and the pig was screaming. I'm like, oh my God. And then the table where we had it fell. So the pig fell too. So we have to pick up the table, put it back on the table, and I finally got the knife. He got the knife from me, and then he went like, and did it. I'm like, wow. I'm telling you this to tell you that whenever there is blood, somebody had to pay for it. And so we got the first Exodus 12:13. The blood was symbol of God's mercy to Israel in the first Passover. It says, now the blood should be a sign for you in the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague should not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood of the animal, it is a symbol of God's mercy. I mean, who will think on something like that? But when Israel was slave for 430 years, before they were slaves, God talked to Abraham and said, Abraham, All of this is going to be yours. Look up your eyes. And until all the way you can see is going to be yours. As far as you can see is going to be yours. But before that, you people is going to have to go through a time of slavery. So they were there 430 years. And God, in his mercy, says, okay, it's time to get you out of there. And after destroying the biggest army of the world, Egypt, the last plague, was the firstborn of Egypt. And so they all died. Pharaoh was playing with them. He telling them that he was going to let him go, but then he's telling him, no, I'm not going to let you go. And then God has to, I love it when God put his arm around you and says, don't worry, I will take care of this. I will get you out of whatever. It doesn't matter how many years you have been suffering that disease. It doesn't matter how many years you've been suffering from that anxiety. It doesn't matter how many years you've been suffering from whatever you've been suffering. I can get you out of there because somebody paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Repeat after me. Jesus paid the price. We are here right now and we can rejoice in his mercy and his love because someone paid the price. And sometimes we say, it's free, it's free, it's free. And it is free indeed, it is. But somebody had to pay for it. Somebody had to pay for it. I have another. Exodus 24:8. The blood sealed the pact between God and Israel. This is the shadow. I'm pretty sure Pastor Mark already told you this. I'm just confirming what he already told you in the past. This lamb, it had to be pure. It had to be all, no wrinkles, no nothing. It had to be pure. Well, that was the symbol of Jesus. And it amazed me that on one side of the city where the Egyptians lived, there was a cry because they lost the most precious thing they had, the firstborn. But on the other side, everybody, the Christians, the Israelites, were rejoicing because they were going to be free. They were free. They spend so many years there. They cry. They sing. They did what they did, and they finally, the Bible says, that God remembers them, as He had forgotten. He doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget you. When you are at night suffering, when you have pain, you're suffering. He doesn't forget you. The thing I'm thinking about is, what is the purpose? What is the purpose that God has to allow such a thing come into our lives? Every time I'm in a situation, in a physical situation or something, I always ask God, what is the purpose? Why are you allowing this? What do you want me to change in my life? What is it? What need to change? What do I need to cut? Do I need to kill something in me? I remember when King Saul was given the order to kill the Amalekites. The prophet Samuel told him, he says, God says you gotta kill the Amalekites. God remembers that when they were coming across the desert, they did war to his first son, you do know that Israel is God's first son. Yes. And God tells Saul, and Saul says, okay, well, you know Saul. He had a little problem. I'll tell your neighbor, we all got a little problem. I know you think you don't, but we all do. I know you think you are holy and perfect and all and pure and all that, but we all do. And God says, Saul, you got to kill all these people. Everybody, women, children, I mean, hello, animals. You got to kill all animals. And the enemies of the faith says, oh, that's a bloodthirsty God you serve. He wanted to kill all the women and children. Well, God knows why. He knows why. And so Saul doesn't, Saul obeys, but he obeys 99%. He obeys. He thinks he obeys, but he obeys 99% of it. And then he allows some of the animals, the big fat ones, and he allows the kings, and he allows some people, and he doesn't kill. So Samuel comes over and says, we got a problem here. God was ready to make you the king for sure in Israel. And he gave you a lot of promises that your family was going to enjoy. And, well, that's not going to happen anymore. And Saul says, no, I did what God told me to do. I killed everybody. He says, oh, I hear something in the back. I hear something in the back, and that's not that. See, when we obey 99% of the time, and we don't obey the other 1%, we're not obeying at all. You do know that, right? Will you allow, like, for example, your water, the water we drink, the water bottles that we distribute. If it says in the bottom, it says 99% pure water, 1% drain water. Would you drink it? Would you drink it? No. But that's what we do. That's what we want God to accept. We're obeying 99%. Hey, that's 99%. No, God doesn't want 99%. He wants 100%. 100% of your heart. 100% of your mind. 100% of your strength. Your strength. And so I'm like, God, I'm going to shut it because I know you guys. Can you guys take more than 1 hour? Yeah. No. 35 minutes, I believe. It's what we usually. 50. Okay. No, I'm just messing with you. People are like, when is he gonna finish? When is he gonna finish? And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it onto the people, and said, "You see, when we read this, we think that the blood was put on the." On the gates, on the doors. But look at what the Bible says. It says he sprinkled it on the people. Will you allow yourself to be sprinkled, to be with the blood? You know that, let me tell you something, one experience I have. I used to work in South Bay. And I used to walk around in my lunchtime. And one time I was walking around. And I saw these people suddenly stop. So one runner, lady like 16, 17-year-old girl, was running across the street. And this car hit her. And it fell on the ground. And nobody touched her. Nobody was, you know how they do. If you pick it up and something happens, it's like, it's her fault, it's his fault. So you can, you don't want to touch her. So nobody touched her. And everybody was looking at her, and she hit the floor and the blood was spilling, making big. Like in the movies, you do watch movies, don't you? The blood, and it shocked me because it wasn't the chicken's blood, it wasn't the pig's blood, it wasn't the dog's. It was a human being blood. And I can never forget that moment. So the blood was sprinkled on people. I think the reason why he wanted to do that is so they remember what really happened. I mean, it would shock you. Somebody puts blood, lamb. It's a clean animal, but if somebody just goes like, it was like, whoa. That's what he wanted it to do. He wanted it to make him feel that their freedom. Yeah. The lamb had to pay for it. He get him out with a strong hand, but the lamb had to die before they. I have number three. The blood sanctify the altar of bronze. Exodus 29:12, I think it is. You should take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour all the blood besides the base of the altar. So when a priest sanctified the people of Israel, one time a year, I think it was, the priest have to be sanctified first. He needed to. You do know that they put a rope and a belt. And when the belt was moving, everything was okay. When the belt was moving, the priest was moving, everything was okay. But then suddenly, the belts stop, and the string stopped moving, and they go like, uh-oh. What happened? Tell your neighbor, uh-oh. See, when you start moving, see, I was telling my wife, I think it's time for us to retire. We've been doing this for 30 years, and I think it's time to go and enjoy ourselves. What do you think? And she goes like, well, you know women, right? Yeah. We can travel, we can go places. Well, this was after a cruise, after a 7-day cruise. And I'm like, well, I like retirement. Why don't we retire and we go places, you know? And so when you stop moving, you know the doctor tell you that, right? When you say, I got knee pains, I got back pains, I got that. It says, don't stop moving. Keep on moving. Moving. And when the priest stopped moving, something was wrong. So the blood did his job and always covers the priest first. Because you do know that the devil attacked the head, the household head. You are a priest, man, that you are here. You are the priest of your home. If you're a single woman, you are the priest in your house. God doesn't make any difference. We're a priest. We need the blood. Tell your neighbor, we need the blood. I want the blood. Number five. The blood cleaned the sins of the nation once a year. Exodus 3:10, they say. And Aaron should make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he should make atonement upon it. Throughout your generation, it is most holy to the Lord. Oh, I love the blood. Do you remember? I don't know. Well, if you've been a Christian for more than 20, 30 years like I've been, I remember in my churches, people were praying for the sick and praying for the diseases and praying for that. And they say, in the name of the blood of Jesus. I don't know if you remember. The blood of Jesus. It wasn't theologically correct. But people were getting healed. People were getting healed. People were getting healed because the blood has power. The blood has power. We cannot speak of Jesus without speaking of his blood. Oh, thank you for your blood. That was the Old Testament. The New Testament, the blood sealed the new pact. The Lamb, John the Baptist, see his cousin Jesus coming, and he says, here is the Lamb. Here is the Lamb. Here is the Lamb. Remember I told you that it wasn't me, because he was preaching. There was a huge line. Even priests came over to get baptized by him. And they asked him, are you the Messiah? He said, no. I'm not the Messiah. But when I see the Messiah, I will tell you who is the Messiah. Who the Messiah is. And when he's Jesus coming, he says, this is the Lamb. This is the Lamb of the world. And then Matthew says, for this is my blood. Jesus says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. Oh, my God. His blood makes me pure. Somebody said before that when Jesus sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees, when God sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees his son. He sees Jesus. Can you clap? Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But because he doesn't see Mario Hernandez, he sees Jesus. The blood justified the believer. I'm justified. No, I'm not just. I'm justified. I'm not just because of my works. I'm not just because I love your song. I love your song. Sometimes I want to believe that Jesus, that God loves me for the things I do, but he does not. He loves me because of the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. The works I do for the church, the works I do for the homeless, the works I do for the poor people, the works I do for the widow. I understand something. Those are not to be saved. I don't do those things to be saved. I do these things because I am saved. Because I am saved. Because God showed his mercy on me first. So the blood justified the believer. Paul says, much more than having now been justified by his blood. Ah, thank you, Jesus. We shall be saved from wrath. How do you say that? Wrath. Wrath. I thought I said rat. No, not rat. Through him. I'm almost done. The blood brings redemption. Redeem. You do know this. Redeem means that he bought us again. Part of the redemption word means that he bought us. We were his, but somebody took us from him. And then he went back and says, I wanted it back. Do you understand that term? Redeem. So, Adam and Eve lost. The devil got everything. He was right when he told Jesus, everything is mine. If you want it, just kneel over. You don't have to go to the cross. Just kneel, and I'll give it to you because it's mine. He was right. He was right. But Jesus redeemed us. We were his in the beginning. We went away, and then Jesus says, I want him back. Well, there is a price. Your life? Okay, I'll pay that. So he redeemed us. You know why he redeemed us? Because he loved us. Because he loved us. Because he loved us. You probably say, I don't see nothing good in you to love. But Jesus brought us back. I love that. I love that. Would you marry the same person you married 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago? I have another question. Would you marry someone like you? Oh, that's for homework, right, kids? Would you love someone like you? Would you marry someone like you? In him, Paul says, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So, I'm going to finish with this. Like a month ago, I was praying, I was walking, and God says, I'm going to give you more grace. That's what I heard. I'm going to give you more grace. And I said, you're going to give me more grace? Well, you already gave me grace. He says, yeah, I'm going to give you more grace. I'm like, okay. Where should I invest, right? The first thing, where should I invest? And then I had an accident like 2.5 years ago. My truck was totaled. My insurance paid for it. Copart, the tow truck, they took him, and I forgot all about it. And so, like, in December, I received a letter from them, and it says, "Hey, Mr. Hernandez, we have your truck over here. We want to sell it because your insurance didn't pay for whatever storage. They haven't done anything in 2 years. And so we want to sell it to recoup our money." You know how they do. And I said, but I'm interested. But if you're interested, they said, according to California law, you are the first. Yeah, you can buy it back. I'm like, okay, I'm interested. I invested that truck. The same day I took it out of the shop, I invested $8,000 in it. Well, the same day I took it out of the shop, same day. I didn't even enjoy that. I'm like, whoa, I know how my truck is, right? When you have something like that, I'm like, yeah, I'm interested. Well, they send me another. I send them a letter. I'm interested. Send me another letter. They said, well, if you're interested, we need to get something with the DMV. Sign this paperwork, and we're going to send it to the DMV and see what they say. Okay. And then they send me another letter. Well, your insurance kind of like are interested in buying your car. I'm like, I thought they say no. They said, well, they now say yes. But the only thing you can pay is $260, and you can get it out of the shop, $260. I'm like, okay. And then the second letter says, well, we're going to start a betting on it, and it's going to be $4,000 to begin with. I'm like, you change it like 20 times. I'm like, okay. I know what kind of car I have, right? Because I have invested money in it. So I'm like, it's worth $4,000. So I took my checkbook. We were there, my wife, my son, and we were there the day, the appointment day and everything. And they were talking to someone, I don't know where. And they were talking. 3 hours later, it says, you can take the truck. I'm like, okay, well, how much is it? How much is it going to be? He says, no, it's going to be free. Free. You don't have to pay anything. 2 years, in storage, and they didn't charge me a penny. And then I remember, this is what more grace means. Amen. Then I remember, this is what grace, more grace means. Let's get the number 6. The blood gave us access to the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 10:19. You do know the pastors and preachers are liars. You do know that, right? Because they said, I'm done. In 5 minutes, I'm done. I'm going to finish right now. I'm almost there. I'm just going to take a couple minutes. They never do. We never do. So the blood gave us access to the Holy of Holies. Now, this is important. For me, it's important. So it says, the blood gave us, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Jesus. Now, why is this important? Because I don't have to go to anybody. In the middle of the night when you're suffering, you can't get anybody on the phone. Everybody turns the phone off. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you're having this problem in the middle of the night, you're having this pain in the middle of the night, and call the doctor, call pastor, call. You can do that, but you know what? You can go yourself straight to God, to the Holy of Holies. In the past, nobody could go there but the priest. He was the only one authorized to be there. And to ask God for favors for you, for grace for you. But now we can all go. That's what the blood of Jesus does. That's what it does. It is powerful. It is powerful. It is powerful. Stand up, please. Do you guys, I don't like when they used to do this to me when I was a musician. Do you guys know the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus? were you guys?
I'm not kidding.
So the blood of Jesus, more powerful than anything. No. The hydrogen bomb, the atomic bomb, the nuclear bomb is not as more powerful than the blood of Jesus.
Your blood speaks a better word.
Yes.
Than all the empty
yes.
claims
yes.
I've heard upon this earth. Righteousness for me that stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sins? What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure? What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood, King Jesus. King Jesus. Your cross testifies in grace. Tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence, it's only by your blood. Oh, what can wash? What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can wash us pure? What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Oh. If anybody is sick, feels sick, or has any physical situation, come over here on this side. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do the dream. I'm going to follow the dream. I was thinking, why would you give me something like that? Is it for my church? Is it for... And when I walk in and you started singing the song you wrote, I says, no, it's for this church. It's for Gathering Place. So if you have any problem, come over this side, yeah, physically. If you have anxiety, panic attack, this side. This side.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. 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 Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
What can wash away our sins?
We're not customized.
What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Yes.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Look, what we have here is an opportunity. He's laid out as well as anybody can lay out the relationship between healing, sanctification, joy, peace, all these things, all related to the blood of Jesus. He can't do a better job than what he's just done.
Amen.
Great message, Mario. But it results in an invitation. And if you don't answer that invitation and you don't apply your obedience and your risk and your will to it, you're not going to receive what he's been talking about. Do you understand? This is an invitation. So it would be crazy not to respond if you have a need in your life that the blood of Jesus applies to.
Come on.
Are you with me? There's God's part and our part. He makes a free offer. We have to accept it. And the way we accept it is we move forward to receive it. We take a chance, we take a risk, we expose ourselves, maybe to disappointment, but we also expose ourselves to receiving more from
yes,
the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
So if you're here with any need that relates to the blood of Jesus, would you please make the choice and come forward now so that God can complete what he is designed to do for today. All right? So come on. If this is you and you get that conviction that I need more from the Lord, come on, step forward, form a line, and Mario's going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. Okay? Yeah. Absolutely.
Let me tell you something about anxiety. I suffer anxiety. If I remember correctly, since age 4, or 5. I didn't know what it was. I just felt that I was going to die. I felt like I needed to go running to wake up in the middle of the night. One time I was flying to one of these conventions and I was tired. Before Pastor John went with me, I used to pray 4 or 5 times in 3 days. So, and I was tired and I was sick. And I was in the plane, I fall asleep, and then I woke up and I heard this voice says, "You can breathe. You cannot breathe. Open the window, the emergency door, so you can let the air flow." And I stand up, and then I said, "No, that's not God's word. He is my peace.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. He is my peace. He is my doctor. He is my healer. That's not God's word." So I sit down again, and I start praying. So I know He went through. Sometimes He wants to come back. I dealt with it, and sometimes He wants to come back to me, and I said, no, you cannot come back anymore. You cannot come back anymore. I belong to Jesus, and no one can out of His hands. No one can take me out of His hands. So I know what you're going through. It's painful. It's ugly. Nobody understands that. You can be having these attacks, these panic attacks, anxiety. And everybody's like, nothing has happened, but you feel it like it's real, like it's real. And I read so many things about it. One guy says, "No, that's a panic attack, an anxiety attack. It's like a false alarm. It's a false alarm. Like when somebody pulls a false alarm and your body reacts to it, and the first thing you want to do is you want to
run.
Well, the military has a term. They call it fight
or flight.
Or flight. Flight or fight. Well, I decided to fight.
Amen.
I decided to fight.
Jesus.
And so, every time he wants to come back, I told the devil, I said, "You're not going to intimidate me anymore. You're not going to take my peace anymore."
Thank you, Jesus.
Because Jesus is way more powerful than you.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
And one time, and that's why it's good to come to the church. I went to a church, and this guy said, I think it was Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson said, "The Bible says that Jesus has all power and authority." The Bible says, and then he says, "So who else has power and authority? If Jesus has all the power and authority, no one has any power and authority over you but Jesus."
Amen.
We're going to pray.
Let's
you,
pray.
You can sing it that song.
Pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Worship I come you, Jesus.
In the same power that you have provided.
What can wash
I don't know what she's
saying.
I don't know what she's going through.
What can make us whole again?
Bless him right now.
Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Pure as snow. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcome as the friends of God, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus, of Jesus. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Oh, what can wash away?
Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Of Jesus.
Holy worship. Those of you that are waiting to receive prayer, why don't we just close our eyes and lift our hands and begin to give thanks unto God. Lord, we thank you. Let miracles flow today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the blood. Pour out your spirit on us today, Lord God. Greater grace, more grace, Lord. We're just praying for more of an outpouring of your love, more of your grace, Lord. Those of you watching at home, if you're still online, we thank you for joining us. You can worship with us. Just begin to give thanks for the blood of Jesus that makes a way, that washes as white as snow. Thank you, Lord.
You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song
of deliverance.
Of my enemies,
come on.
Of my enemies,
till
all my fears are gone.
No longer slaves.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
No longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Sing, ooh.
Love has called my name. 'Cause I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
No longer a slave.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
We're singing our word.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stay and see. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. What can wash? What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Of Jesus. Worship you, Lord, King Jesus. Thank you for the blood.
Thank you for your blood, Lord.
Thank you for the blood. We worship you in this place, Lord. Worship you, Lord Jesus. Every battle, every heartache, every circumstance, I believe you are my fortress. You are my portion. You are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you every blessing. Every promise, every breath I take, I believe you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. It's a new horizon. And it's a new horizon. I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to. Because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. And it's a new horizon. And I'm set on you. And you meet me here today. Mercies that are new, Lord. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to. Cause they can't stay long. But I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the light. I believe. believe you are. I believe you are.
Yes, we love you, Lord. Praise you and give you glory.
Put on some music.